following is for information purposes only and does not necessarily represent the views and opinions of News Radio 680 WPTF and the Curtis Media Group.
FM 98.5, AM 680 WPTF, this is Making Your Home Great. Holly Bowers is here. Brock Emmons is here. Brock, I want to ask you, first of all, was there any possibility for anybody to get any work done in the attic or in attics this week?
Yeah, you know, the last couple of weeks have been very difficult. Yeah. It is possible. You know, our guys are arriving on job sites before most people are waking up.
Right.
Just so we can get a good 4, 5, 6 hours up there of dedicated work, which is what we do throughout most of the year. You know, this time of year, we have to pull these guys out of the attic around noon.
Sure.
I mean, at the latest 1 o'clock, and they've already taken several water breaks by then. So it's just keeping these guys safe. But yes, it is very difficult. We're already looking forward to the fall.
And Holly from Roofworks, have you guys been able to accomplish anything over the last 2 days?
Well, just chasing leaks pretty much.
Okay. Yeah.
And going back to the hot weather, same thing. I mean, we get people that call in. They're like, hey, the guys are sitting outside. I'm like, yeah, let them sit there for 2 hours. If they need a 2-hour break, it's okay. They need to make sure that they're good before they get back up there.
We hear that a lot. Every once in a while, you know, when we go out to do the final inspection after the work is completed, I always ask every customer the same thing, always. How did everything go? Was there anything we could have done differently? You know, give me as much feedback as possible. And every once in a while, we get customers who are like, well, you know, they took 2 or 3 breaks, went outside for, you know, 10, 15 minutes. And I was like, well, it's, you know, 130 in the attic.
Exactly.
So I appreciate your patience in allowing them to safely take a 10-minute break.
And to not pitch over in your home.
Yeah. It's happened before. I had guys back in Texas many years ago that stayed up in the attic longer than they should have. And, you know, you stand up and you see stars. Right, and you just get that light head, and then your foot comes through the ceiling, and you know it can be problematic. It's not fun for anybody
because you're not fully aware.
Right,
you start to Well, if you wonder what Brock means about Texas weather, this has been sort of a rain.
Yeah,
it's been kind of like Texas.
It's been pretty close, actually. A couple of the guys that I you know had moved up here that you know grew up in Texas as well, and we all kind of talked about it. We were like, man, it's only 95, but the humidity is at 1,400, so it feels like 1,000 degrees outside. This is pretty relatable.
I thought the other day, this can't sustain itself, right? Because there's just no way. The earth is not like this. This is not North Carolina. It's got to change. Well, it did change, Holly. And you're chasing leaks.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we needed that rain. We needed it to cool down. And we've been getting work orders like crazy. But that's a good thing. Rain is always good. It's not good so much if you have a roof leak, but it's good for us because it keeps our team busy.
I don't think that, I don't know about every storm, but the ones that went through my neighborhood were not especially windy.
Right.
They just brought all the rain we needed in a 2-hour period.
A lot of lightning, a lot of thunder. There wasn't really that high winds, but it was a lot of rain in a short period of time. My brown yard needed it. It's finally woken up in green today, so that's nice.
Yes. This is a good show for anybody who's sort of thinking about selling their home in a few years, in a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you can live with things. Yeah. I mean, I grew up in my family's house, and the toaster was broken, and it cooked on only one side. You have to pop it up and then turn your bread around and pop it down. My brother remembers it, that he went to college and discovered that everybody else doesn't do that. Right,
yeah.
But if you're going to sell your house, you got to protect that roof. You got to make sure that there's no leaks. Because I'm telling you right here, one hint of a leak and people are walking away from your house.
Yeah, and it's really from the selling and the buying side. I mean, it's just as important for buyers that are purchasing a home to get a roof inspection, because what you don't want is to walk into a situation that you weren't aware of and it ends up costing you a lot of money down the road. So get inspections, regardless of whether you're selling or buying. It's just something you want to get your roof checked once a year, twice a year. These storms create damage. Sometimes you don't know that you even have issues. So that's why it's important to have somebody put their eyes up there and tell you what's going on.
I never look at the back of my house. I never walk to the back of the lot and look up. I don't know. I could have missing shingles.
Yeah. And really, if you have access to your attic, it's always good to get up there and just go check your attic, because the attic will show you a lot of what's going on out there.
Yeah, I'm not going up
even
there.
So for the insulation side, I mean, as a homeowner, you need to just do that investigation. There's a lot of things that you can do on your own before you make those phone calls. We get calls. We were just talking about it yesterday. We get calls all the time, especially this time of year.
And
someone had called the other day, and they were like, well, we have a roof leak, and it's not raining. So a lot of times, you know, the good thing was we were able to field that call to say, hey, it's most likely not a roofing issue, but probably like an HVAC pan that's overflowing. But that's the reason why you want to get up there, because you're going to see things before they become a problem.
Or it could be the hot water heater.
Anything, yeah.
Which somebody thought was a great idea to put in the attic.
I know.
That's terrific.
Yeah.
That's a convenient spot, first of all. The access to the attic is about, I don't know, 2 feet by 2 feet.
Right.
You know, it's a little squeeze.
Climb a vertical staircase to get up into the, don't fall.
A vertical folding staircase.
Staircase.
Oh, golly. Right.
No, that was when I moved to North Carolina, that was one of my favorite parts. You know, I've been in residential construction a long time.
Yeah.
So I'm used to seeing water heaters and air handling units and ductwork and attics, and having to work around that kind of stuff, doing what we do, has always been very difficult. So when I got here and everyone's like, oh, everything's a crawl space and all the equipment's underneath the house. And, you know, it's great. The problem is you don't know when there's an issue. You don't know. Unfortunately, there's a lot of homeowners that are like, well, you know, go down there and take a look. And we get down there and say, hey, you know, your subfloor's rotted out underneath your kitchen sink.
Yeah, no, I didn't know.
It's about to all fall in on you. When it leaks down there, unless you're down there crawling around in it, you normally don't know until it's caused a big issue. And the same can be said with a roof. I mean, if you're not up in your attic looking around, it could be a pinhole. Mm-hmm. A very small leak that just lets a few drops of water in at a time, but over a period of an extended time, you know, now we're dealing with damage, and now we're so just having somebody run up there once or twice a year, not only on top of the roof, take a look in the attic, take a look underneath the house. You got the air conditioning guy coming by a few times a year. Just make sure everything is running smoothly.
Right. I go to the doctor every 6 months without fail.
Right.
You know, he's checking my oil and, you know, checking that the filters are up to date. And I should do the same thing for my house. I'm not going to have, you know, Craig come by to examine the floor he put down. But I would have somebody from RoofWorks come up and climb on the roof and make sure it's not damaged.
Yeah, and it goes to more than just single family. I mean, it's commercial buildings especially. It's so much square foot area to cover. So those are really more vulnerable, especially to low slope systems, that you definitely want to get a team out there that's setting you up with a maintenance plan and doing those annual inspections once or twice a year.
All right, that reminds me, I got to get Rhonda from Help Me Rhonda Interiors to come by and just make sure that everything's beautiful in my house.
She'll do a better job of it than I could.
I told her feng shui, and she arranged everything in one particular area, but we've moved things since then. We were tripping over the table, so we needed. I don't know whether the home is still feng shui. I don't know.
You don't know. You need to bring in a pro to let you know.
Craig, the floor guy, apparently has had conversations with people regarding feng shui, regarding this Eastern idea that you need to angle things in a certain, you know, you need to face things in a certain way, to east, to west, whatever. Because they had flooring that had to go
one
parallel,
direction, right.
One direction,
right.
And the other person said no. So, I don't know. I shouldn't make fun of feng shui. If you're an advocate of feng shui, and you've got a question with your roof, this would be the time to call. Is it angled correctly? There's pretty much only one way to put the roof in. But let's see. You know, 860-9783 is our telephone number on Making Your Home Great. Making Your Home Great, excuse me, on WPTF. FM 98.5, AM 680, WPTF, Making Your Home Great. With Holly Bowers from Roofworks and Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier. I didn't forget your name. I was thinking of the next question for Holly. That's right, Holly. So, Holly, tell me about the damage that's done on hot days on houses that aren't correctly ventilated.
Oh, gosh. That's, well, I mean, the heat, obviously, especially in this climate, is if you don't have proper ventilation, it's going to break the shingles down faster, which in turn is going to make, they're not going to last as long. And from Brock's perspective, thinking about the insulation and what it does inside the attic is probably going to cause more damage than anything else from the roof side.
Yeah.
I believe it can also void roof warranties, if I'm correct on that.
If it's not vented properly, it will void the warranty.
All right. No, completely. I've been talking about my neighborhood and the fact that we have ridge vents that are shortened because there are hip roofs. I've looked at them. They're very small hip roofs.
Yes.
It doesn't look like that pyramid structure.
Okay.
It just looks like a little bit is cut off and a little triangle on the edge of each roof. Probably good, because they've got a ridge vent.
Yeah, but it's an A-frame.
It's an A-frame mostly.
Yeah.
And then just some fancy done on the back.
Yeah.
Hip
roofs are very much like a pyramid. So the ridge at the top, even if it's covering a 2,000 square foot area, typically those ridges are 8 feet, maybe. Wow. And something over a 2,000 square foot area should be closer to 30 to 40 feet.
Yep.
So when you run into those, and we've said on the show before, ridge vents are my favorite ventilation. There's no moving parts. There's nothing to break. It just uses standard physics. As long as you have soffit ventilation helping to push that air at an upward angle, that ridge vent helps to eliminate a lot of the heat in that attic and can bring the temperature down a great deal. However, if you have a hip roof, even putting a ridge vent across the whole top of it isn't going to be overly effective. So those are typically when we recommend going with either an electric or a solar fan. You know, a powered fan to actually pull that heat out is going to be a lot more efficient.
Are we calling Roofworks to install it?
Yes. If we're doing a solar fan, which is what we recommend, Roofworks installs all of our solar fans for us.
Yeah.
We learned years ago it's probably not best to have my guys cut a hole in your roof. Let's bring in guys that do this a lot and are able to flash it properly and even give us a warranty for leaks.
Is the solar portion of it flush? Is that what you're telling me?
So it depends on the size of the fan. Okay. We have three or four different size fans. A 35-watt fan would probably be for about a 800 to 900 square foot attic space. Kind of looks like one of those old turtleback vents you'll see on a lot of customers' houses. It's pretty common. Looks pretty similar to most that are out there. But the face of it has a small solar panel built in, so it doesn't run on electricity. Then you can move up to the bigger ones, the 46 watts and the 60 watts. These things have their own independent solar panel that mount on the roof next to the fan itself.
Right.
Which is why you always want to verify with your HOA that not only will they allow you to have it, but verify where you place it.
Oh, heavens.
Every once in a while, I have a customer that's like, hey, I want it right there. It sees the best sun.
Yeah.
And me being the contractor, I'm like, you know what? You're right. That's a good idea,
that's
brother.
That's a good idea.
And then we get a phone call about 6 weeks later. Hey, my HOA is complaining about the location. Can we move it? And we're like, well, we put a hole in the roof. And so we can, but maybe verify.
You're going to need another hole.
Yeah, maybe verify with your HOA prior to letting us place it anywhere. So we always ask customers, do you have an HOA?
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. You might want to call them, make sure they're okay with us putting it here so they don't send you fees.
Holly, at one time, I wanted to cut the cable. And in order to cut the cable at that moment, you had to buy a dish. You had to call the dish company. They came out. They got a fellow who seemed perfectly competent, though he was under 30. He installed the dish. He did it on the shed portion of my home, which is, you know, that's where the hot water heater was. Now that I know different, I would want you guys to do any installation on my roof.
Yeah, because, I mean, we don't typically like satellites on roofs because you're adding more penetrations anytime you're cutting more holes. You're causing potential issues down the road. But there are certain brackets that need to be installed for those satellite dishes to ensure that everything is watertight and they're on there the way they're supposed to be
really?
On there. And a lot of times we don't see it, but when we do replacements, especially with the big projects, multifamily, a lot of the HOAs are, you know, having homeowners take the satellites off with the new replacements because they know it's a problem. But if they do allow them to keep them on there, then we're putting the proper brackets on and reinstalling the satellite dishes correctly.
Wow. We had a leak in the house we eventually ended up buying, but it was, you know, the wood was blackened around where the fireplace intruded, the mm-hmm. chimney intruded.
Mm-hmm.
And is it mostly intrusions where you get, you know, 80%, 90% of the leaks?
Yeah, I mean, the walls, the chimneys, any area that's vulnerable, because what you do, you have that substrate
right.
going straight to the vertical wall, and at that point it needs to be flashed correctly to keep that water out. So that's if you got leaks around the chimney, most likely it's a flashing issue. But saying you have a stucco brick stone chimney, it could be a few different options. So that's where you got to do a more intense inspection just to make sure it's not coming from the top of the chimney chase or the brick itself. The mortar joints are cracking and it needs to be pointed up. So that's why I said just having somebody come out and look at it that knows what they're looking at, we're going to be able to give you a proper assessment.
I don't even know why they put such a big chimney, a stone chimney, a brick, on a house that has a gas fireplace.
I mean, it's probably more for aesthetics.
We
do remove chimneys completely that don't need to be there.
Oh, good.
So if that's the case, we can certainly do that and cover those areas and just recover it. But stone and stucco chimneys are the ones that are tricky.
Yeah.
That's where you get that through-all flashing detail, and there's a lot more that goes into those areas that you really need to know what you're doing, because those are the ones that you need to bring in the other contractors, the masons that can work behind you to get that stucco put back in once you get that through-all flashing detail. And the same thing with stone. You got to chip that stone out, get that flashing put in place, and then have the masons come back out and reinstall the stone over the flashing.
We had it remediated before we bought the house. Now, there was still this black area. Well, what do you both suggest for that? I mean,
was it rotten through?
No, it wasn't rotten through. It's just black. The water got in the inside.
So we're talking about a piece of wood?
Yeah, a piece of wood. The roof deck on the underside.
That's going to... Okay, so we talk about mold remediation a lot on the show.
Yeah.
Mostly what we run into is white mold.
Okay.
Black mold, you don't run into unless there was a water source.
Right.
Or just 100% humidity in an area for years at a time. I mean, it takes a lot of moisture. So if the back of that wood deck has turned black, there's a very, very good chance that is, in fact, black mold.
Oh, yeah.
Now, if it's in an attic in North Carolina, it is more than likely now dormant. If the leak has been repaired, it's too hot in an attic to run into great deals of mold. That's why we run into a lot of mold underneath the house or in dark, damp areas. In an attic where it's 140, there's just not enough moisture in the air to produce condensation. So more than likely that mold is dormant, but still needs to be remediated and removed.
Right.
Because when it gets cold outside, it can wake up and start growing again. And it does eat wood. It consumes whatever it's growing on.
Oh, man. Well, I sold it.
There you go.
Well, house is no longer.
Yeah, and when we run into that situation, we just replace that decking.
Piece of wood, right.
Yeah, to make sure that everything's put back in place properly and it's all new and we contain that problem.
I would agree.
But that's a whole roof issue. I mean,
well, even for repairs, I mean, we run into a lot of repairs where we have to replace rotten wood in certain areas. So that's the same thing. I mean, if we see it, it's rotten. you got mold issues, we're going to get rid of it and put a new piece in there for
and
you.
And you're able to match the color in general?
For the shingle itself, I mean, that's the tricky one. When you're doing repair and maintenance, especially on shingles or any type of roof system, honestly, you've got new up to old, so most likely you've got shingles that are faded out. We're going to match the color the best we can, but getting an exact match is always pretty difficult because it's never going to match exactly.
Right, right. Well, we finished off the room. I mean, they remediated it. We finished it off, covered it up, and walked away. But that's all right. It was a company that bought it. It wasn't a lovely young couple with their aunt who was going to live with them. It was
their three children.
These people bought the house on square footage and location only. Zip code, and this was during the crazy years in Fuquay. Now the word has gotten out that you can't turn left in Fuquay. So, you know, that's part of it. All right, we got just a few seconds. We're with Holly Bowers of Roofworks and Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier. We're talking about roofs on FM 98.5, AM 680, WPTF. FM 98.5, AM 680, WPTF. We mentioned mold. We mentioned mold one time. And in the commercial break, Holly Bowers has got a mold story. That's not really your thing.
No, it's not. I mean, I was just talking about it. It was a few years ago. I remember Bossman went out to go check on this leak that had gotten called in, and he got up in the attic, and it was the absolute worst case of mold that he had ever seen. I mean, it was saturated. The whole entire attic was full. It was coming through the sheetrock in the bedrooms.
Wow.
And this lady lived there. I think she had two kids in the house, and he was like, "You got to get out of here." But she wouldn't. She didn't have a clue until just she reported a roof leak. But it was due because there was the proper ventilation system was not installed. So she got a leak, and then it continued to just grow and grow over time, which in turn it took over the whole entire house.
All right, now you diagnosed it. Proper ventilation, was not installed.
That's right, and that's what created the problem, and then it just turned into a monstrosity after that point.
Now, after the remediation of the mold, and remember, mold was at one time thought to be, that's it. Your house is done. Might as well insure it and burn it.
Light a match.
Light a match, because you can't fix it.
Right.
But you can fix it.
Yeah,
and you guys do.
As long as it hasn't gone and started causing structural damage.
Wow.
It definitely can be remediated. You know, that's a horror story. For anybody who's a homeowner, what Holly just said, you get up into the attic and it's absolutely saturated in mold. That's a major problem.
And you mentioned, I think, on the air, but maybe not, that if you rub at it, at that mold, the spores come off. And that's dangerous.
It can be. So depending on the type of the mold, most of the mold that we remediate underneath homeowners' houses, for example, is a white mold that's more conducive to like a bathroom mold, messes with your allergies, gives you sneezing fits, that musty smell.
Yeah.
You know, anytime you're like, oh, I can smell mold, that's white mold.
Okay.
You don't smell black mold, okay? There is no scent to it.
Right.
If you rub black mold, it does release spores, and those spores are what are known to be cancerous.
Right.
So with black mold, you cut it out. If there's a piece of wood, a piece of drywall, anything like that, you cut it out of there, get it out of there, and replace it with something new.
Yeah.
Unless you have dry ice blasting equipment.
Yes.
If you have dry ice blasting equipment, you can blast the mold, kill it, remove it from the surface, and you know, not have to cut it out and remove it. A homeowner that has that much mold in their attic, when Holly was telling us the story in the commercial break, as soon as she said that, I was like, oh, there was no ventilation, was there? She said, nope. Well, if you have low insulation in the attic, you have no ventilation in the winter.
Right.
When you're running the heater in the house, all that heat is working its way up past your tiny little bit of insulation, and it's in your attic space now where it's cold. So you're getting a lot of hot and cool air that are mixing, and there's no ventilation. There's no ventilation. It becomes stagnant. Now you have humidity. Now you have mold.
Right.
So unfortunately, that problem could have been corrected years before had they had some soffit vents and a ridge vent installed. All right. It never would have gotten that bad.
Holly, what are we doing for that customer?
Yeah, well, we ended up replacing the roofs out there and getting everything set up the way it needed to be set up. But I think that situation had an inoperable power fan that wasn't working that nobody was aware of. So that's where when we talk about the solar fans, that's why we're such an advocate. If you do have to put a fan on, the solar fan's the way to go because those power fan ventilators don't last very long.
All right,
A lot of times homeowners don't even realize that 5 to 7 years, they're inoperable. And when you think you have ventilation, you actually don't. That's where the problem lies.
Well, they do if they're having someone come out once or twice a year to inspect everything and make sure it's running properly. But these aren't the fans from, 1927 that would last 100 years.
Right.
Yeah.
These are the fans from 2023 that'll last 9 months before they go out.
Right. Like the wind turbines are a little different, but the electric power fan ventilators, we've just run into so many issues. So we're big advocates with Brock to get that solar fan put on.
They have 25-year warranties. I mean, most of us aren't in the house 25 years, so if a powered fan can give me a 25, and you don't get those with electric. Electric fans are like 2-3 year warranties tops.
Yeah.
So if I can get a 25-year warranty for something that's going to cost me about $300 more, I'll take that 9 out of 10 times easy.
You mean the big, solid, electric motor?
It is a motor.
It's a motor.
It's going to go out. Yep.
It's General Electric. I don't know who else. Some aerospace company. They make these things like they used to.
Well, that's why I like that the skylights, the venting skylights, because they don't have to be hardwired anymore.
Right.
They all are based off that solar panel system, so you don't have to get up there and have an electrician. Same thing with the solar blinds that they have.
Yeah.
It all works off that panel, so it just makes things a lot better. They don't burn out. You don't have issues with that. The lithium battery is good for a long time, and it just seems to be a better system.
Yep. That's what we do with the sunroof?
And skylights are, they're such a great way to add natural daylight, and it really does reduce the cost of you having to turn the lights on.
Yeah.
Because we have so many in our building, and a lot of times we don't, keep the lights on just because it does bring that natural light in. But especially for commercial structures, it's the way to go because you can get a lot of natural light in there, and it will help you with your power bill not have to run that electricity so much longer.
I've got a story of a homeowner that I've been dealing with for the last 3 weeks, dealing with believe it or not, a skylight. Okay, so this customer, we insulated their attic. They have a 2-story house.
Mm-hmm.
Kids' bedrooms are on the top floor. They were struggling to keep the top floor cool. The thermostat was located on the top floor, okay, which is a little strange that you can't keep the top floor cool.
They didn't have a dual system in?
No. They do. They have one for the bottom floor with its own thermostat,
okay.
So they had a split system, and the top floor had its own thermostat, but they could not keep it cool. So I popped my head up in the attic, and I said, well, your insulation's not bad. I mean, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're gonna go ahead and insulate the attic with radiant barrier. I said, okay, well, it's definitely going to make a big impact. So we insulated everything. About a week later, he called back and said, hey, we're still having the same issue up there. It seems really humid. Okay, that is weird, running into high humidity in a bathroom on the top floor.
Yeah.
Okay, long story short, I hooked up thermal hygrometers throughout his house because I wanted to start finding out what's the temperature, what's the humidity in these rooms, what is causing this.
Yes.
There are 2 attic spaces. So I put a thermostat in each attic space. The attic space above the kids' bedroom was 110, which is not bad.
Okay.
The one on the lower section of the house, which had better ventilation, was 135.
Huh.
The only difference is there was a canceled skylight in that lower attic that was letting lots of light into that attic space and causing it to be a lot warmer. The kids have the same skylight in their bathroom.
Yeah.
So when I figured out, clearly, the bottom attic is not tinted properly. It's not an E-rated tint skylight because it's allowing heat in.
Right.
So if that skylight's like that, the kid's skylight's got to be like that. So we blocked it. I put a piece of radiant barrier up there. We blocked it off. What do you know? The kid's bathroom cooled down 12 degrees.
Huh. And that's why those solar, the solar shades are great, because you can get the total blackout shades, which right. that it doesn't let any light in or any of the heat in. So that's what's good about that. And that, especially like you said, you're putting it in an attic space like that, you definitely want to put a shade down, because keep it cool when it, when you're not using that space, and keep that heat out.
And the scary thing is it had the badge on it in the corner of the skylight to let you know that it's tinted per code. You know, the little thing.
Still wasn't working effectively. Mm-mm.
You put your hand up there and feel tons of heat coming through. And I said, look, man, this is the problem. This is where it's coming from.
Right.
Now, I wish I would have known that prior to me allowing him to let us insulate his house.
Sure.
But we're not normally in the habit of running through with sensors over a two-week period measuring different rooms to find out these kind of variables.
Yeah.
So it was a huge curveball. And luckily for us, we figured it out. He sells shingles for a living. He works with a distributor selling shingles.
Okay.
So he reached out to one of his roofing buddies who's coming in. He's going to cancel out the skylight and wall it over to get that problem corrected.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, that's why I said a lot of the good contractors, these guys are like doctors. You can go in and you assess the problem. You don't just, oh, it's this. Get to the root. Get to the core of the issue. Which is why I love watching these guys track leaks. They'll stand on your roof with a garden hose.
Yes.
They'll water your roof until they find exactly where it's coming in from. They don't guess.
No, I mean, it's tricky sometimes. I mean, leak chasers, some of the top leak chasers, I mean, that's a craft right there.
It is.
To be able to go out and to locate that. And that's why, I mean, it's so important, though, because you don't want to give them the wrong assessment and turn out and it doesn't work. We learn all the time. We run into situations over the years that what we thought it was, it wasn't. And that's sometimes it's trial and error. There's some quirky things out there that you wouldn't have thought was the problem, but it actually did cause the problem. But that's why years and years of experience and just going through that process and those situations, really, that's where the wisdom comes in. Yep.
Okay, we gotta contact Discovery Channel. Because they need to put a show on called Leak Chasers.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it is absolutely a craft.
I've seen water travel 30 feet in an attic. It'll come in up here, and then it'll move across the beam for 30 feet before it comes down another beam, and now it's in a bathroom, which is 30 feet away from the leak.
Yeah, right. And on pitched roofs, it's quite a bit easier to locate leaks than it is when you get into, you know, low slope, flat roof membranes. I mean, that's everything is flat. So to be a great leak chaser on a low slope roof, that's something special right there.
Oh, that's great
because, I mean, our team, they've found a lot of issues that haven't, you know, they've caught us out, and they've been able to fix a lot of problems that others haven't been able to find. And when we have those stories, that's the best part about it.
Yeah, if you put leak chaser on your resume, you're going to have a lot of roofers calling you.
This week on Leak Chasers, a flat roof.
It does sound like a good name, Leak Chasers.
That's got some chasers.
Yeah, and like I said, you just have to. That comes with time and wisdom and experience of going out day after day, year after year. I mean, some of these guys have 20 plus years experience, 30 plus years. I mean, that's just something you can't learn that in a book right there.
Right. Okay. And if you've got even the slightest spot on your downstairs drywall, push the panic button soon, right? Don't let it fester.
Yeah, well, if you're seeing it on your drywall, it's already been an issue, because it takes quite a while to start coming inside and penetrating through the drywall system.
All right, well, this is Making Your Home Great, soon to be renamed Leak Chasers, and it'll be on Discovery Channel or some other channel that needs stuff. This is FM 98.5 AM 680 WPTF. FM 98.5 AM 680 WPTF. Making your home great. Creating creative ideas for cable TV. And talking about home ownership. We can make your home great. I think if you employ all of the contractors who are on this show, you've made good choices. Because the people who go on this show are vetted by Brock. He just picks up the phone. He says, what do you think about this guy? No, honestly, what do you think about them? Oh, yeah. And there have been some wave-offs, some moments where, yeah, I don't think we want to call that guy.
Not a good fit.
Invite him on the show. He just, yeah.
Well, we take a lot of pride in this show, you know.
Yeah.
Dave and Mike and I got this show put together, and I think when we did this, it was, let's bring in good, honest contractors. I mean,
right.
We all fear the same thing when it comes to contractors. Are they being truthful? Am I being taken advantage of? Are they overcharging me?
Yep.
Are they selling me something I don't need? And if you're not in the industry, you don't really have the answer to those questions. So we thought, well, let's put a show together. Let's bring in good, honest contractors that shoot customers straight. And you know, let's take care of them as best we can. And I think that's what's helped grow the show and brought in amazing companies that have been a part of this show over the years. So we're excited to be able to get to do this for our listeners. And they've kept us on the air. We're getting good feedback.
Right. The attitude toward customer service at RoofWorks.
Oh man,
it's
everything. It is literally everything. Because I mean, nobody's perfect, but you better stand behind what you're doing out there. And
right.
Brock wasn't here on the last show when I was talking to you about the situation with that elderly woman down in Wilmington.
Right.
That really brings a spark of anger in me to know what she's been through and what this contractor put her through. But as we've been working through that process, to explain to Brock this, we had a customer call us that is a great customer of ours. She's working, she's got a great friend down at the coast that she's working with her trust because this elderly woman has been sick and she's not capable of making decisions for herself. So
yeah.
She's helping her out, and she called us because she got a couple bills from a contractor that's been doing work at her house, and she is questioning it, rightfully so. Because she felt like it was too much. So we went down there and took a look at everything, got measurements, and essentially told her, yeah, she was being charged more than double to do the work that was supposed to be done.
Was it roofing work?
It was roofing. It was all sorts of stuff. And come to find out that this woman has worked so hard in her life and had put herself in a great situation. Well,
yeah.
this contractor had taken full advantage of her for the past couple of years and has gotten almost $500,000 worth of work that he's charged her for, and essentially tried to drain her whole everything that she's worked her whole life for.
Good heavens.
And that's why I said, that's why we're here, that's why we talk about this stuff, because this happens every single day. I'm so thankful that she called in to ask us because she knows she could trust us. But it just makes me wonder how many people have gone through this situation that have no clue that this is even going on. For a contractor to go out there and take advantage of an elderly woman in this situation, you have no business being in this industry. That's anyone that's out there doing things like this to people.
He got his claws in.
Yeah, it's just monstrously unfair, and it is not okay. This is why I come on the show. This is why Brock comes on the show, because this is the real world. This is what people do, and this is why we advocate against them always will.
I want to ask this gently. Are the police involved?
They are. They're working on
yes.
it. So that's,
good.
Like I said, it's just, it breaks my heart to get phone calls like that. It happens more often than people realize. So I'm not coming on here. I'm coming on here advocating for all of these people that are going through these situations that should never be put in this situation in the first place. If you're out there making money off of somebody, doing it the wrong way, taking from them what's not deserved.
Right.
Like I said, you have no right to be in this industry. This is not what this is about.
I would agree with Holly 100%. And, you know, to add on to that,
yeah.
I'm not going to be using any company names here, which I normally don't make a habit of on the show trying to throw somebody
not
under
good.
The bus. But she is absolutely right. Unfortunately, and it's not just contractors. There's car salesmen. There's doctors. There's lawyers. There's whatever field. If that field is run by people, there's going to be a percentage of those people that are going to be dishonest and take advantage of others, which is unfortunate.
Right.
But to add on to that, I'll give you another example. Some of our competitors, okay, dehumidifiers are very popular in customers' crawl spaces. Okay,
yes.
Everybody here, we've talked about it. I don't really spend any time on that. The dehumidifiers that we install are April Air. We think they're the top of the pyramid. Excellent dehumidifiers. They come with 5-year full manufacturer warranties.
Okay. Sounds good.
In the last 6 months, We've been called and asked to come out and take a look at crawl spaces that were performed by another company.
Oh, boy.
And asked us to take a look at the work to verify it was done properly. Now, we charge for those inspections. We tell customers that. You know, it's not a foundation of our company, but we're willing to do it if they need it. Both times, we found the exact same April Air dehumidifier in that crawl space. It had been painted blue, and they put their company logos on it. Now, there's nothing really wrong with that, I guess, if you want your company logos to be on the dehumidifier. But after getting into further conversation with the homeowners, they said, oh, yeah, the dehu was, I don't know, $1,800, and then I paid $1,000 extra for a five-year warranty.
Really?
I'm sorry, you paid $1,000 for a five-year warranty? Yes, I did. The warranty that comes free with the unit from the manufacturer? Well, they said it was a manufacturer's warranty. Oh, ma'am. You talk about dishonesty. And I bit my tongue. I wanted to tell her absolutely everything and throw this other company under the bus.
Sure.
But I just said, ma'am, if you run into any problems in the future with this unit, please call us. We'd be more than happy to come out here and handle it for you.
You're telling us that they charged $1,000
for what came free with the unit. Yeah, because they purchased the unit. Now, I purchased the unit, all my dehus, I purchased them, but I still give the homeowner the warranty. They're buying it from me.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about that same thing happening on our side of the industry. So you have, if you're certified with these manufacturers, you can give these extended warranties, which are great warranties, but the price they're being charged to get is not okay.
No, that's right. Bad.
It's not.
Let's talk to the people who are building houses just for a moment. It's not our core audience here, but what do they need to do in order to guide their people correctly? Should they automatically go in and put radiant barrier or a crawl space addition.
Are you saying from a builder?
From a builder's
new construction?
Before they did anything else.
Depends on how long. I mean, if it's your forever home.
Yeah.
You know, if you're building a house to turn around and sell it, no. You do everything minimum code. So that's how most builders are. But if you're having a house built to be your forever home, yeah, a standing seam metal roof is a good investment. A fully encapsulated crawl space is a good investment.
Yeah.
Insulating the walls prior to the drywall going up with either a spray foam or a combination of fiberglass and radiant barrier is a very smart and good investment.
Because
you're going to get all that money back in, I don't know, 5 to 8 years. I mean, it's a short-term investment if you plan on being there a decade.
Right.
So it depends. There's a lot of variables that are involved.
There are. And especially that's why I love custom builders, because custom builders give you these options that you might not necessarily get from truck builders, but you do have a lot of options as a homeowner that's building a home. So just do a lot of research and make sure you ask the right questions, because if you invest on the front end early on, while you're building, you're going to save a lot of money on the back end doing it the right way.
All right. How do we get in touch with you?
919-852-2660.
And Brock, last couple of seconds, how do we get in touch with Triangle Radiant Barrier?
Just find us on our website at triangleradiantbarrier.com.
And RoofWorks is spelled with an E where the O would go in works.
It's roof, WERKS.com.
All right, very good. If you've got any questions, please call them. Both of these folks have said that if somebody does some work for you and you're not satisfied with, certainly call the contractor you hired, but go ahead and call these guys to get some decent advice.
If it doesn't feel right, it probably isn't. That's what I say. Go off your intuition.
Yep. This is Making Your Home Great.